As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri. It's time once again for a show-me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me the evidence. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Friday, August the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is still William Roberts. Always good news. Lots of that. Hard facts. Certainly workable solutions as well. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're certainly not alone, but you are definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. PO Box 96, rural southwest Missouri, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, channel 16, and talkstreamlive.com, all broadcasting this broadcast this morning. Anyway, they certainly are. It's the end of the week. The listener call number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals firm in the aftermath of turbulent trading. We'll talk about that. Equities and crude higher. UN called for a new global currency in 2009. What's new about that? Gas fracking panels, high frequency trading. That's all in the news basket for this morning in the hour. Following this, we'll go into the new world of Henry St. Simon, a little bit deeper, epics, organic and critical social sciences, and much more after that. Anyway, let's go into our market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, found gold trading down another $23.60, smack dab in the middle of the $1,700 range at $1,744 even. Silver this morning off 17 cents at $38.47. What's wrong with silver? Jack that up. Kickstart it. Put some high test in there. Platinum up 11 bucks at $1,798 a troy ounce. Palladium up 6 bucks at $747. Good number for Boeing. Maybe it'll work for us. Lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,743.40. Relatively narrow trade. At $1,768.50 for a high. Nevertheless, at $1,744, that sure has a nice ring to it to me. Your gold is up year to year $531.80 for a 43.82%, and I assure you, they're not giving that away on Main Street. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London fixed the price at $1,755. I'd say we're in pretty good ground in the middle of the 1700s for gold. The SPDR gold shares overnight paired off 23.62 metric tons. Buddy, there's some money made there. Profit taking on the majors. 1,272.89 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest this morning, valued on State Street at $72.2 billion. Big hands, deep pockets. Watch that spider on the corner of the web. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday recovered gain, much ground, up 423, closing out at 11,143. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Friday, August the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, our chat room can be found at becomevocallocal.com. Log on, bookmark that site today. Come back into the market report for this morning, closing it out, putting it behind us. Active trading again out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Not a good deal for gold today. Getting hammered pretty strong. Just checked on Kitco's website. They're showing off 3370 at 1733.90. The SPDR Gold Shares website has a spot price of 1737.13. Nevertheless, it's off at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It was off $23.60 at 1744. So a lot of those gains into the 1700 up to the 1808 and 1818, I think, was the intraday high there. But anyway, all that gain is coming back out of that gold market right now. Silver, again, off 17 cents at 38.47. Platinum up 11 bucks at 17.98. And palladium up 6 at 7.47. So I guess we can understand that whenever you have a meteoric rise like we did in gold, it just blew through 1700 so fast. It was amazing. Unbelievable. Right into the 1800s and the low 1800s. When you have those kind of meteoric rises, you got to expect a meteoric fall, and we're getting it. The lows and the highs, that's the great thing about physical possession gold, folks. You don't have to worry about it. Just pour an ice cold glass of beer or another big mug of coffee and sit back and watch. You know, you're good. You're good to go. Anyway, the lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 1743.40 for a low, 1768.50 for a high. The SPDR gold shares, again, really big news here. 23.62 metric tons came out as they took profits there for all those exchange-traded funders, and that's really a benefit. You know, that's if there's a benefit at all in these ETFs, is that you can move and groove a lot more rapidly than you can in the physical markets. You know, if your gold's up at $1,800 and you're sitting there, you got 100 ounces of silver, you got all this gold stacked up around you, what do you do? I mean, you call your broker, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. They tell you, well, just put it in a box, and when we receive it, we'll give you a price. And yeah, you just can't do it, you know. So you just got to hang in there. We're not in there to speculate and invest, I guess. What we're doing is trying to preserve our wealth. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 423. We've got a good article on this in a moment. At 11,143, the NASDAQ up 112, closing out at 2493. The S&P 500 up 52 at 1,173. Crude oil this morning up $1.11. Lots of 11s in the news this morning. Anyway, at $86.83 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index this morning, this is the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s trade-weighted basket of currencies, off 5 basis points at 74.49. Impacts the foreign exchange rates, of course, where this morning the Canadian loonie continues a downward slide. Today, exchanging against the U.S. dollar a little better than yesterday, up at a $1.01. The Mexican peso, like I said, just kind of hanging on there at 8 cents. It's up 9 basis points. Your multiplier there is 12.2654 pesos per dollar. The euro up 20 basis points at $1.43. The British pound, $1.63, up 32 basis points. And that Swiss franc, still strong, but off another 129 basis points as the central bank in Switzerland tries to bring down the Swiss franc so that the people there won't have to spend $300 for a cheese fondue. Anyway, $1.30 this morning for the Swiss franc against the U.S. buckaroonie. In the bond market, oh, everybody's all on Twitter with this one. The yield on the two-year is down at 0.19%. The 10-year at 2.28, the 30 at 3.76. We've got an article on this one. The 15-year fixed-rate mortgages moved down this morning from 3.65% to 3.44%, continuing this enticement program trying to get people to go to the banks and borrow money on houses. The 30-year moves down from 4.51 to 4.22. But if you're in the market for a mortgage, I guess these are good prices. Go see your banker. Prime rate this morning at 3.25% standing. Your gold to silver ratio, it's going to take you 45.37 ounces of gold or silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold. In the economic calendar for this morning, yesterday, of course, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index came out. The EIA natural gas report was out and so on. This morning, we've got retail sales and consumer sentiment, and the business inventories are out. Let's go ahead and open that one. I'll pick up this one and see if we get anything besides the consensus. Let's go. Consumer sentiment. Retail sales may be solid, but you'd never know it judging by consumer sentiment. All right? So you stand around out by the greeters at Walmart, and people are kind of glum and looking down, and you know, you look at the baskets, and they're all mostly three-quarters empty. The Reuters University of Michigan index fell nearly 9 points to 54.9, which is just below levels during the worst of the 2008 meltdown. All right, consumer sentiment not looking good. This is nearly a record low, next only to the Iranian hostage crisis and the oil embargo of the late 70s and the early 80s. All right, going back in and scratching the memory banks for Generation X and the baby boomers. The expectations component, which is the leading component, fell more than 10 points to 45.7, again, very severely depressed and near a record low. The current conditions component fell less severely, down more than 6 points to 69.3. The debt ceiling crisis and wild movements in the financial markets are very clearly not helping the consumer's faith in the economic outlook. Well, yeah, it's going to take a minor miracle. That's all I got to say. Business inventories. Here's the consensus. Business inventories rose 1% in May, in contrast to 0.1% decline for sales. A mismatch that put the stock-to-sales ratio at 128 versus 127 in April, and up notably from March's 125. Well, anyway, not a good report. And another consensus. Here's some highlights on retail sales. Retail sales strengthened in July. That ought to charge up the marketplace. Led by a spurt in auto sales. A spurt in auto sales with three cars or 5. But with support from most other components, overall retail sales in July jumped 0.5%. Okay, so you lay out 100 pennies on the table, and you cut one in half and push it into the pile, and make it 100 pennies and a half a penny. And are you excited? No, I'm not either. Excluding auto sales were healthy. Sales were healthy. How about you? Sales were healthy. Following a 0.2% rise in June, of course, you know, they've got this back-to-school stuff going on right now. Analysts had estimated a 0.3% increase. Gasoline sales actually rose during the latest month, supporting ex-autos. Gasoline station sales rebounded 1.6% after dropping 1.7%. So that's a net sum gain of nothing. Sales excluding autos and gasoline in July advanced 0.3%. Outside of autos and gasoline, sales were mostly positive. Leaders were miscellaneous store retailers. That would be Dollar General, probably. The flea markets were doing well. Now, talked to a flea market operator yesterday, and flea markets are way off. Anyway, up 2.4%. Electronics and appliance stores up 1.4%, and non-store retailers, that would be the activity that's going on behind the dumpster, behind the 7-Eleven maybe. Also seeing increases were furniture and home furnishings, food and beverage. Yeah, I admit it. I bought 2 6-packs of beer. It was so hot, I needed a cold one. Health and personal care and clothing and accessories. Well, that's the way it goes. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And certainly the investors and the traders on Wall Street are hoping for something, and maybe they'll get a little bit more out of this retail sales and bump the numbers up a bit more today. Anyway, this is the retail sales report. Overall, they say, concluding the article here, the consumer is still spending, although the pace is hardly gangbusters. Despite difficulties in the financial markets, the consumer has not withdrawn entirely to the sidelines. While this week's international trade numbers point to a downgrade in the second quarter GDP, today's retail figures suggest some improvement for the third quarter. But it's interesting to note here that the leading the downside were sporting goods, hobby, and bookstores, down 1.5%. All right. Well, don't feel too bad. It's kind of a global thing, you know. It's a pattern. London rioters are leaving bookstores untouched. This by Yuri Friedman. This is off the Atlantic Wire article sent in by 10K Puddles from the chat room. While the rioters in England this week have looted shops selling shoes, clothes, computers, and plasma televisions, they curiously bypassed one particular piece of merchandise, books. Of course, they probably can't read, don't know where to put the batteries into a book. Anyway, The Economist observes that while looters have a centuries-old history of book burning, books are losing out to high-end jeans and Apple-made gadgets in London, with the Waterstone bookstore chain emerging unscathed and the W.H. Smith chain reporting only one incident. Some stores closed as a precaution. And explaining that the store would probably stay open during the unrest, one Waterstone employee even felt comfortable enough to issue a dare to the rioters. If they steal some books, they might actually learn something. Well, yes, but they have to read. They have to be able to read, and most of them can't. The exception to the rule is the gay bookstore. Gay's the word. Which had its front windows smashed and its shop front splattered with eggs. Yeah, crystal knocked, right? Sure. Notably, no goods were stolen. Quote, our impression is that there are certain people who have an issue with a visible gay business and are using the excuse of chaos to cause anti-gay damage, an assistant manager told Pink Paper. Pink Paper. That's just too choice, too rich for me. Anyway, they ain't stealing books, people. Books? No way. They ain't going to steal books. They'll go for the iPods, they'll go for the jeans, and anything that runs on batteries is cheap Chinese plastic crap imported from Asia. Magna Lear may lead the global consolidation of automotive interior suppliers. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of the interiors on automobiles these days. You get into these things and it's like you're getting into somebody's front room, their living room. You know, you can't light up a cigar and enjoy it, you know. All that cloth in there, the stuff that's inside the automobiles, it's all plastic, looks cheap, tacky. I got a 1961 Chevrolet truck out there, and when I had the seats rebuilt after 30 years of use, that was probably after 25 years of use, I had them redone in a very super heavy industrial strength Naugahyde, all right? The same kind of seat covering that they use in urban buses and in the, what do they call them, post office trucks, the little Jeeps, okay? That stuff is like made out of iron. You can climb in and out of there. It doesn't matter if you're muddy. It doesn't matter whether you got your dog up on the front seat with you. It doesn't make any difference whether you're covered with whatever it is. At the end of the day, you can just wipe it all down with a sponge and it looks just as good as new 25 years after they were installed. But Mark Clothier, writing this one, makers of car seats and dashboards. Yeah, that's why they stopped the production lines, because they make the car seats and the dashboards and all these interior things, and they have to be installed before the rest of the car is assembled, right? Can't put a dashboard into a car these days unless you have the you have to almost drop the thing down through the front windshield. You ever tried to repair a fan motor or something underneath the dashboard? I get the contortions just to get under there, just to reach your hand, and you need four more joints in your elbow. Anyway, makers of car seats and dashboards, including Magna International Inc. These are all this injection moldings. I don't know whether this thing's off gas on a hot day. You have to leave the windows down. Are among those that used to have, you know, seats, car seats, truck seats. They had horsehair in there and springs and stuff. Today, I don't know, it's like three pieces of cardboard and a foam pad with some kind of fuzzy stuff, you know, mouse cloth sprayed on. The headliner in my truck, the first time it got good and hot, headliner was falling down droopy like some old lady's, you know, pantyhose or something. Anyway, needed a garter for my headliner, put it in there with some baling wire, got that to stay back in place. All the plastic inside, all around the goes around the edges of the headliner, it's all broken, falling off. You know, you're driving down the road, a screw drops out. Wow, that's a 91 Dodge, by the way. With more than $5 billion in cash, suppliers are adding assets that help automakers develop interior features tailored to fast-growing markets such as Brazil and China. Magna, Lear, and Johnson Controls, Inc. will be among the more aggressive acquirers, said PRTM, a global consulting firm based in Waltham, Massachusetts. Vehicle interiors are key differentiators among competing vehicles. Yeah, that's right. It's all cheap Chinese plastic crap, but nevertheless, they're going to make some of that plastic crap in America, I guess. Talked about that the other morning. Injection molding, polyethylenes and things. I like kitchens and bathrooms are for house shoppers. Suppliers that specialize in seats, dashboards, and related components are looking at distressed companies in Europe to help boost their ability to serve automakers such as GM and Volkswagen in local markets. Quote, the average customer all over the world is buying by exterior looks and interior experience. You never thought of that. You know, I never got into my 57 Chevy. I never was thinking of an interior experience. You know, 52, five-window Chevy truck. Nah. Never thought about an interior experience, but that's what it is today. Exterior looks and interior experience. I don't know about you. Drive into these Walmart parking lots, you'll look around. God help you if you have one of those kind of cars, because if it happens to be champagne or beige or silver or blue, you walk away from it, you'll spend 20 minutes trying to find it again. They all look the same to me. Anyway, significantly more vehicle manufacturers are changing the look of cars to appeal to local markets. Auto parts companies may make as many as 250 acquisitions worldwide this year, and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, they're going to consolidate and try and have one global interior manufacturing company. Wow, that ought to really be nice. Gas fracking, now this is a serious article, poses environmental risk, a panel finds. All right, Jim Estethal, Jr., writing this one for Bloomberg. Natural gas companies risk causing serious environmental damage. You might visit with Dr. Truott. He's really been on this one. From hydraulic fracturing, unless they commit to the best engineering practices. A task force named by Energy Secretary Stephen Chu concluded. Remember, it was Stephen Chu that went down to the Gulf of Mexico and gave that place a clean bill of health, right? Secretary Chu. Yeah. Regulations to protect public health will work best when drillers embrace techniques that avoid undesirable consequences, according to a draft report today, August the 11th, draft report today, by a subcommittee of the Secretary of Energy Advisory Board. The increased use of fracturing or fracking, which forces water and chemicals into rock, and no small amount of water either, by the way, raises the potential for a serious problem, the panel found. The report offered recommendations for companies involved in fracking, such as Chesapeake Energy, Inc. and Southwestern Energy Company, to follow, and guidelines for state regulators that oversee the drilling. Well, here's a quote. While many states and several federal agencies regulate aspects of these operations, the efficacy of the regulations is far from clear. I mean, you know, what do? You're 6,000 feet below sea level. And the condo blows. Well, that's not the time to start putting tools in your toolbar. Anyway.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so just as we found out when we were studying from Gustavus Myers, the history of the great American fortunes, when the creation of the Interstate Commerce Commission, you know, it's basically a bunch of railroad men getting together to write rules for railroad men. Well, this is the same sort of a thing going on here. Again, while many states and federal agencies regulate aspects of these operations, the efficacy of regulations is far from clear. Effective action requires both strong regulation and a shale gas industry in which all participating companies are committed to continuous improvement. So, well, we've seen the downside effect of the Environmental Protection Agency and all their regulations basically drove everybody into the offshore market, offshore and out of this country, NAFTA and GATT and all the rest of them. But now, you know, it is true that the shale gas industry in which all of the participating companies are committed, they do need to be committed to, you know, continuous improvement and doing the job well. And I have no problem with them being able to access the natural gas any place they can find it, and more power to them. But please, you know, don't screw up our water in the process. The Environmental Working Group in Washington, that ought to freak you out. The Environmental Working Group in Washington, that's a group. You can Google it, Dogpile it, Web Ferret it, check them out, which advocates for clean air and water. So these guys are probably bugs and bunny folk. Questioned the findings of a panel, it was said, was dominated by the gas industry. Now, if the panel was dominated by the gas industry, chew, didn't put together a very good panel. The Independent Petroleum Association of America in Washington, which represents oil and gas companies, said the report marks a useful starting point for discussions. I think I misspoke correctly, masks. But it says it marks a useful starting point for discussion. Okay, so they've got a baseline report out here. Disruptive activities. Communities, quote, need to fully understand that there will be disruptive activities during drilling and industry needs to improve its response to local concerns, close quote. Yeah, said Barry Russell, chief executive officer of the group, in a statement. In fracturing, millions, here's the real problem now, millions of gallons of chemically treated water. This is millions of gallons that have a lot of people concerned. You know, it takes the water out of your aquifer to do this job, and then they chemically treat the water and sand, and they're forced underground to break up rock and allow the gas to flow. Advances in technology have, in a few years, pushed gas from shale to almost 30% of the U.S. production from a negligible amount, according to the report. Of course, you know, up on the North Slope, Gull Island and elsewhere, huh? They're using jet engines, according to Lindsay Williams, to force the natural gas back down into the ground. All right, we got so much natural gas that we could tap into, not only in Alaska and the Arctic, but also in Canada, that we shouldn't necessarily have to be turning to this process. You know, anyway, continuing. Millions of gallons of chemically treated water and sand are forced underground to break up the rock and allow the gas to flow. Advances in the technology have, in a few years, pushed gas from shale to almost 30% of U.S. production. What we're recognizing in the report is the dramatic scale and speed which with the growth of the industry has realized. Now, haste does sometimes make waste, all right? The dramatic scale and speed. So everybody's piling in, all right? Like front running. Unless the imperatives, I should back up a little bit. Kathleen McGinty, a subcommittee member who led President Bill Clinton's, that's being generous, Council on Environmental Quality, in an interview, quote, unless the imperatives that are sometimes articulated in regulation take deep root in every action out there, you'll experience problems. And there's truth to that. Lower drilling costs have lured companies to develop the Marcellus Shale, a formation from New York to West Virginia, that's no small stakes, that includes regions not typically associated with gas production. The growth of fracking has raised questions. It's questionable, all right. You turn on your tap water and you can light it up, you know, like a Zippo in the kitchen, about whether both current and future production can be done in an environmentally safe and sound fashion that meets the needs of the public trust, according to the report. Of course, that sounds terribly like sustainable development, doesn't it? Right out of the Brundtland Report, development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Right. Let's continue. The report underscores differences in public perception of the potential consequences of gas fracking. Industry advocates say the technique hasn't caused a major incident for more than 60 years, though current technologies or techniques were introduced less than a decade ago. Opponents cite failure and accidents, the result in tainting the drinking water. And then they go on, they talk about cementing the pipes and all of that. And we know that Halliburton and Kellogg, Brown and Root, and all those guys are involved in that. Nalco. Anyway, that's the story. They're sticking to it. But there is a report out. You can find it. Gold falls in London as rally to record spurs increased investor selling. All right, Tony DeBrie writing this one, or Dribus writing this one for Bloomberg. Gold declined in London as some investors sold the metal after debt and slowdown speculation boosted prices to a record. All right, well, that's not all of the story. Bullion is down 3.6%. Here's the record. From the record of $1,814.95 yesterday, after CME Group raised margins on futures traded in New York. Now, we had to piece this together yesterday from a couple of articles. But this is what they're pointing to, and I agree. All right, this is probably the reason why we've had another turn in gold, because the CME group, these pilfering, pandering batards, can't leave things alone. Raised margins on futures traded in New York. Gains in equities also curb demand for gold as an alternative asset. We read you the article. Who's making the gains in equities? Why? The companies are coming back in, and they're buying their own stocks. They wiped out trillions, and they turned right around, came in, you know, and everybody was getting hammered, and they bought low. That's the way it works. The metal is in need of a period of consolidation. There's truth to that. To enable some much-needed base building. So we're going to build strength in here at the 1740, 1750 range, hopefully, and stay in here for a bit. Gold for immediate delivery fell, and we don't need to cover those numbers. They're all out of date. Now, holdings of the metal and exchange-traded products fell yesterday, and we gave you that, all right, and so on and so forth. So that's what's happening in that basket. I'm moving right through the news. Let's go to this one. Rather an interesting twist. Found this one interesting this morning reading it. Delancey, Qatari DR to buy the Olympic Village site for $907 million. All right? So the Arubs are coming into London to buy an Olympic Village site. Here's the article. UK developer Delancey Estates PLC and a unit of Qatar's Sovereign Wealth Fund agreed to pay about £557 million or $906 million for the site of the Athletes Village in London's Olympic Park. All right, now they're going to turn all this into low-income housing after the deal's done. But they're getting ready for the Olympics over there while people in London are burning the house down for being broke, being hungry, and feeling upset with the way things are going in their country. The deal includes the purchase by the closely held company, that's important, that's terminology, held Delancey and Qatari DR Real Estate Investment Companies of 1,439 homes from the Olympic Delivery Authority that can be resold or rented out, the ODA said in a statement today. So probably used a lot of tax dollars to build this and donations to build this Olympic Village. And here come the Rubes. They're going to pick it up. Anyway, let's go on. Another interesting story. Not too interesting, but interesting nonetheless for me. Chris Jasper and Steve Rothwell writing this one. Russia's biggest privately owned train company is tapping the world's longest rail network to move high-value auto parts and electronics from East Asia to Europe, slashing 30 days from shipborne delivery times. You know, so a lot of these people that we saw in boxcars and things like that, the Jews, they were going out to in the Jewish Autonomous Oblast that was set up for the Jews as a home. By Joseph Stalin, all right? And it was a very, very long journey. Well, they're still using this railway system, and they're using it to better advantage now because they're trying to do an end run on overseas cargo container shipping, all right? Now, they're not able to handle the bulk by any means, but they're able to strip time out of it. So here's the article. Global Trans Investments PLC, part of Moscow-based transport group N-Trans, and listed in London since 2008, is running four container trains a day from Vostochny port on the Sea of Japan. Now, I had to go and look that up, Vostochny port on the Sea of Japan. It's very interesting the way that Russia, wraps around China on its northern boundary along the Amur River Valley and then comes around and picks it up. The way that the country was, the landmass is set up, it really gives them an open to the sea. And I don't know whether they're cutting across China to make this or whether they're just running the northern border of Mongolia and China, but this definitely outruns the shipping.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of course, it's been a long time since I've studied in any kind of depth, you know, Russian history and whatnot, and the things that are happening in Russia of late. But you know, as a young person, a young man, I was joined up to, you know, hate or fear the Soviets. You know, this is all the post World War II stuff that the baby boomers were fed on a constant basis. You know, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. But from what I have studied about the, you know, the Ukrainian genocides and all of the things that the horrible losses of life and exceedingly desperate lifestyles that people have lived in Russia for all these years, you know, under the jackboot of the Jews that came in with the Bolsheviks and all that. Nevertheless, if they're involving them, if they're going to expand, if you will, or maybe improve rail traffic, and this is a 11-day train journey, maybe it will help to make some of those towns out in there a little bit more prosperous. I don't know. Just looked at the article, thought it was interesting, share it with you. N-Trans, which runs the VSC container terminal in Bashtakhshni again, through its Global Ports Investment PLC. Now, Dubai Ports International is involved in this as well, and they hold a 20% holding, I think it was, on this port, Bashtakhshni or whatever it's called, aims to steal time-sensitive, high-value shipments away from the maritime routes using the 6,000-mile Trans-Siberian Railway. Journey times of about 11 days compare with a month for sea transfers from Korea and Japan to Hamburg, and as many as 40 days to St. Petersburg, where congested infrastructure can stretch times further. And I've heard several different radio broadcasts. I can't remember the young men that were going on this They took a train ride. They ran this Trans-Siberian railway just to see what it was like to ride from one end to the other, 11-day journey. They're rather interesting. The volumes you can carry by train are obviously much lower than on the smallest of container ships, and one of the drivers for the Trans-Siberian Venture is a solution to the congestion in St. Petersburg and the Russian ports, they said. And anyway, I'll just drop it there and just say it's up on the web. You might take a look at it, give it some thought. We rarely ever think about Siberia, but those people still live there today, and lots of them in grinding poverty. Wall Street trading results a mystery to an analyst as global markets gyrate. Curious title. But this is basically goes back to the real problem, what we've been seeing the past week. Michael J. Moore, now writing this one, New News for Bloomberg, volatile moves in the equity and fixed income markets have analysts wondering whether this month's trading will lead to profits or pain for Wall Street's biggest banks. Volume and volatility may help third quarter results in a seasonally weak period, Barclays analyst Roger Freeman said in a note this week, cautioning that bank trading positions will determine the overall results. Glenn Shore, a Nomura Holdings, Inc. analyst, wrote that the sell-off is likely to cause market-making pain and lower investors' risk appetites. Well, as their investors' risk appetites wane, safe haven investing like gold and silver and the metals will go up. This morning, all of the gold stock shares were up, even though gold was on its way down. The five largest U.S. investment banks have reported trading revenue for the first 6 months of 2011 that fell 13% from a year earlier. Now I'm just going to drop down. It's awfully hard to know how firms have positioned themselves throughout this and what impact they will have. We can drop down some more. Standard & Poor's trading results. Moves in equity and treasury markets raise question about the trading results of the five largest U.S. investment banks. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley. The firms posted their fifth straight year-over-year quarterly decline in the second quarter, and July was unseasonably slow. Tradings in equities and fixed income products account for 23% of the total revenue of the five banks last year. Market gyrations. This is more important. The volume has brought increased volatility. Now, that's what we've been seeing. I mean, all week we've just been reporting on this incredible surges up and down and up and down, these very unusual declines down to very low bottoms and then right around again, moving back up. So all that just tells me this is front running. All right, these guys are in there with these high-speed computers, and they're doing serious, serious work with it. And that's exactly what's happening. And so let's move over to the next article. High-frequency firms triple trades in the route. Pay attention to this. And we talked. We had a caller from Washington, I think it was, out in the Renton area or Redmond area perhaps. High-frequency firms triple trades in route. This by Nina Mehta, New News Today. The stock market's fastest electronic firms boosted trading threefold during the route that erased $2.2 trillion from U.S. equity values. Now, where's the SEC in this article? Securities and Exchange Commission. It's supposed to regulate this sort of stuff, all right? You know how the process works. Goldman Sachs has a supercomputer of some sort. And then people lease space right next to the computer, all right? So they want to be the highest, most valuable space is the first one off of Goldman's computing systems, all right? You put your computer there, and somebody else releases the space next to yours, and next to yours, and next to that, so on, all right? And it's because of the speed with which these computers run and the algorithms that can be programmed into the computers that you can actually make in, you know, sales and exchanges and trades at, as they say, nanosecond speed. You know, as soon as you find out what Goldman's doing, you can bet them again or bet it forward, you know, sell short, go long, whatever, buy, sell, all that in less than a second trading, nanoseconds. That's what this article is about. The increase from August the 1st to August the 10th over the 2011 average surpassed the 80% rise in U.S. equity volume, showing that high-frequency traders made up more of the market during the plunge. Gary Wedbush, executive president and head of capital markets at Wedbush Securities, said in a telephone interview, here's a quote, "We're seeing a tremendous amount of high-frequency trading. Again, where's the Securities and Exchange Commission on this? All right, said Wedbush, whose company is one of the biggest execution and clearing brokers catering to high-speed firms. Execution and clearing brokers. Their business is a trading business. Volatility creates far more opportunities. Some of their algorithms and automated systems are trading 2, 3, or 5 times as many shares as they would have in a more normalized volatility environment. You talk about a rigged game, folks. This is a totally rigged game, all right? And it's all being done by computers, and as they claim towards the end of the article, it takes out the human component. It takes out human error. Continuing, the role of high-frequency firms in periods of market swings, and of course they're creating these swings on these specious news reports. Oh no, S&P has downgraded, you know, the U.S. from AAA to a AA plus good, right? And then all of a sudden these guys come in, they turn on the computers, and away they go. The role of high-frequency firms in periods of market swings has come under scrutiny since the May 6, 2010 crash that briefly erased $862 billion from U.S. share values. In contrast, now we're talking trillions, in contrast to their behavior this month, the traders and other professional investors were said to have withdrawn bids as the 2010 sell-off worsened, according to a September 30th report from the Securities and Exchange Commission and Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Rising volume. Equity volume from August 4th through August the 10th was a record for any five-day period, according to data compiled by Bloomberg and Credit Suisse Group AG. The daily average of 15.97 billion shares beat the previous record of 15.94 billion from September the 15th through September the 19th of 2008, the crash. Wedbush, which has about 1,000 employees, including 400 in Los Angeles, has been the largest provider of bids to buy and offers to sell shares on NASDAQ every month this year. Daily volume average, blah, 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 7.5 billion shares. 7.5 billion. Rapid orders, high-frequency trading is a technique that relies on the rapid and automated placement of orders, many of which are immediately updated or canceled as part of strategies such as market making and statistical arbitrage and tactics based on momentum. Momentum trades, you've heard of that before. It accounted for about 53% of trading earlier this year, down from 61% in 2009. Folks, we got a lot of problems in this country. But one of the problems that we have in this country, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, one of the troubles that we have in this country is that we're allowing technology to run away from us. This techno-totalitarian system that we're living in right now is getting the better of us. Maybe it's time to rethink the think and back up a little bit. Just because you can, don't mean you ought.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora.
Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Friday, August the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. The chat room can be found at becomevocallocal.com. I'm going to jump into the chat and enjoy the banter that goes on in there. And the call-in number remains throughout the broadcast each and every day, 866-841-1065. In the first hour, a variety of news. I'm going to close out two more news articles. This one off the Telegraph. UN wants new global currency to replace the dollar. Now, there's nothing new about this article. This comes out of 2009. But we share it with you. Vicky sent it to me as a link, and I went there this morning, and I think it's a good article. The dollar should be replaced with a global currency. So you see that, you know, this is not something that's new, that's just been, you know, coming out. We're moving through this process. They know that they need the crisis to get people to go this way. All right. They know they got to have the crisis. So they're manufacturing the crisis and front running all that nanosecond trading, all that just helps to do it. All these, you know, Arab Spring and all that. You know, there was another article I had on the browser. Didn't cover it. Maybe I need to find it. I don't know how I lost it. But anyway, this Arab Spring stuff, they've got the United States is now making a call, you know, to have Assad of Syria step down. And you read that article. I wish I'd not lost it, but I did. But you read that article and you see exactly what I shared with you yesterday or the day before out of the shadows of power. The way they've written this article just goes to further this idea that after the internationalists, after the establishment, Eastern establishment, the captains of finance and industry, after they gained the monopoly of the American media, global media really, but definitely the United States media, all the several states, when they got control of that, they installed editors in all of the rooms, you know, in all of the companies. And if you look at the Bloomberg articles, you can see how that goes. They typically post an editor or two at the bottom as being responsible for the story. So they collaboratively write. They've got two or three writers. Maybe they've got a CIA agent, and they've got somebody that graduated from Columbia. And then maybe somebody that's going to oversee this is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And then just to throw in for good measure, they've got somebody, you know, from the CIA or from the NSA. Anyway, that's how they write articles for news today. That's why we share them with you, because this is the most sanitized material you could ever get. Anyway, this article is 2009. UN wants new global currency. The dollar should be replaced with a global currency, the United Nations has said, proposing the biggest overhaul of the world's monetary system since the Second World War. All right? Now, just listen to how this starts. In a radical report, and this is September the 7th, by Edmund Conway, economics editor for the the Telegraph out of the UK, in a radical report, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, that's UNCTAD, has said the system of currencies and capital rules, we've seen all kinds of rules and regulations coming down, you know, the Basel II and so on, which binds the world's economy, is not working properly. And so we've seen nothing but that for the last year and a half, and was largely responsible for the financial and economic crisis. It added that the present system under which the dollar acts as the world's reserve currency should be subject to a wholesale reconsideration. You know, given in the light of this particular article, so much of what we've been reading and following makes sense. It added that the present system, again, under which the dollar acts as the world's reserve currency should be subject to a wholesale reconsideration. Of course, it's shared with you right out of the shadows of power. The same sort of thing coming from the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, remember, you know, where the United Nations is and who set it up. That we needed to redo the Constitution, and it needed the same kind of a radical change, right? Although a number of countries, including China and Russia, China, you know, doing its yuan thing, Russia is doing its thing now too today, have suggested replacing the dollar as the world's reserve currency. The UNCTAD report is the first time a major multinational institution has posited such a suggestion. Isn't that curious?
Know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, we are back here on our Friday, August 12, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Just started into an article sent to us by Vicki Davis. You can find her work and her research at channelingreality.com. This article off the UK London Telegraph, UN wants new global currency to replace the dollar. This was written back in 2009, just showing you how this has all come to pass, all right? Again, it's added that the present system under which the dollar acts as the world's reserve currency should be subject to a wholesale reconsideration. And then it continues, talks about China and Russia and so on and so forth. And the in essence, now it continues, the report calls for a new Bretton Woods-style system of managed international exchange rates. And, of course, we just had Bretton Woods II, George Soros and the boys all got together. Soros bankrolled a lot of that, you know. And they had another Bretton Woods II. They have this new group that they've created the Institute for, what is it, New Economic Thinking or something like that. I'll try and remember the name exactly. Yes, and it'll come to me in a moment, perhaps. But anyway, they've got this all set up. They're going through the process. The proposals would also imply that surplus nations such as China and Germany should stimulate their economies further in order to cut their own imbalances rather than, as in the present system, deficit nations such as the UK and the US having to take the main burden of readjustment. They call that redistribution of wealth. Anyway, here's a quote, and I'll leave you with this. Replacing the dollar with an artificial currency, as if the dollar isn't an artificial currency, what would be more artificial than the dollar? Replacing the dollar with an artificial currency, you know, would solve some of the problems related to the potential of countries running large deficits. Oh, the debt panel, the large deficits. And would help stability. We only had to loan trillions into existence to all the bankers of the world to make this happen, but they're doing it. Anyway, but you will also need a system of managed exchange rates. Countries should give real exchange rates, again, stable. You know, they got in all over China, the yuan. They're talking about Russia doing the same, other places, Greece, the little pig countries. Central banks would have to intervene, and if not, they would have to be told to do so by a multilateral institution such as the IMF. Well, it's a lengthy article. It's rather interesting. I'll try and drop it into the chat. But again, this is off the United UK Telegraph. UN wants new global currency to replace dollar, a 2009 article. Now, here's another one sent in by another listener. And this is a very good article. Again, I'll try and drop this into the chat room if I can. Yeah, the Institute for New Economic Thinking. Jason lets me know that. Thank you, 10K Puddles. Always right on the money. The Institute for New Economic Thinking. That's George Soros and the boys. All right? This is an interesting article from a magazine I'm not familiar with, the Orion magazine. All right? www.orionmagazine.org. This is an article that was published in their July-August of 2005 issue, all right, another older article. But it is very lengthy, can't cover it all, but it's titled In Law We Trust. In Law We Trust. Can environmental legislation still protect the commons? It's an interesting article. It has lots of historical stuff in it, but I'll just give you a little bit. In the early 1900s, a company known as Waiahole Water constructed an elaborately engineered ditch and tunnel system across the Hawaiian island of Oahu. Its purpose was to channel stream water from the island's windward, rainy side to sugar plantations on its drier side. By the 1990s, almost 100 years, the ditch was delivering an average of 27 million gallons a day to leeward Oahu. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? Unfortunately, it was usurping water that had once been used by small taro farms on the windward side. The so-called Waiahole or Waiahole ditch left these traditional farmers high and dry. Now, one of the cardinal rules in development when I was in the business, civil engineering and land surveying, was that water comes onto your property from one place and it goes off your property in another place. And it is a standard practice. It certainly ought to be part of the laws of nature, nature's God, that as where that water comes onto your property ought never be changed either by the upstreamers or yourself, and where the water goes off your property on the other side ought never be changed by you. Okay? That way everybody can, you know, enjoy the use of a river or stream or something like that. And everybody gets the benefits of it, but nobody takes advantage of it, such as to, you know, destroy the downstreamer. If water comes onto your property clean, clear, and crystal clear and all that, then that's the way it ought to go off your property. And if you can't live by that, then maybe you need to reconsider your plans. So anyway, when we would do engineering designs for subdivisions and other things or business developments, that would be our hope. The same quantity of water would go off the property as ordinarily went off the property before the development was done, even if we had to do stormwater retention, detention facilities, and other things to make it happen. In 1993, and that's not what's happening here, all right? This ditching system usurped water from one area and left them high and dry. In 1993, AmFac, the island's last big sugar producer, ceased operations and a legal battle over the water ensued. Now you can go back and you can look at Range Over the Stormlands, Wayne Hage's case, when you are out there trying to upseat or unseat these various big cattle farm ranches. They're there with water rights, and if you don't understand that, then you need to definitely be visiting with Hal Anthony on Sundays on his broadcast Behind the Woodshed that comes on at 2 o'clock Central Time, and he can clear up any misconceptions you might have about a loyal title and your rights to land and mineral claims and all of that. I certainly leave it to Hal to do it. He does a far better job of it than I can. The state's Commission on Water Resources held 7 months of hearings, and in the mid-1990s, then ruled that 20% of the flow diverted via the ditch would be restored to the eastern streams. Now, that's a pretty small change. They're getting the short end of the stick. The rest, they said, could be used for commercial purposes on the west side. So they're trying to ameliorate. They're trying to come to some consensus here and some sharing. This ruling, however, was only a minor victory, as millions of gallons of water were restored to the original water course and some small farms returned to production. Now, this article is going to continue. It's going all the way back to the Magna Carta. It's going to give you lots and lots of information that you can use. Again, I'm going to post this in the chat room, and you can go in and jump in there and copy it for yourself. And if 10K Puddles is in the chat room, you can ask him to put him on his email list, and he'll send you links to these articles at the close of each broadcast. Really a great service that he provides for the listeners, in addition to the research that he's doing, too. So I'll drop that in there. Now, we're going to go to a break in a moment, but I wanted to go in quickly to this little bit right here. You know, we look at the banking system. We talk about morals and ethics from time to time, not nearly as often as I ought, but nevertheless, there once was a time in Italy when there were two cities preeminent. One was Florence, the other was Venice. All right? Everybody's heard about the merchants of Venice. Well, Florence is another cup of tea. On the one hand, you have money. On the other hand, you have art. All right? On the one hand, you have money. And on the other hand, you have the art. And we're going to talk about that briefly. Then we're going to go into St. Simon. Stay tuned.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And those links are definitely in the chat room. 10K Puddles has got the fastest searchability as anybody. Even before I was able to drop those links in, he already found them and got them up there for you. But they're in the chat room now if you want to find out about it. This is an article in Law We Trust, okay? I'll come back to the Florence in a moment. But the idea here is that water everywhere and not a drop to drink. You know, a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people are starting to become aware of it. I was talking about it in 2004. You know, Mikhail Gorbachev, the Green Cross optimist. We could see then where it was going. They were using the words boldly, blue gold. And whenever somebody starts talking about blue gold, you need to be paying attention. Because there's, you know, several different ways to control the people. You can shut down the food supply, you greatly restrict it, or you can make it less and less nutritious or less and less available. But you can go for days and days and days and days and days and weeks, you know, just eating grass, if nothing else. But you shut off the water, and you're going to live for just a couple of days, and you're out of here. All right? So water, in my opinion, is right up there with air. Man eats. man moves, man breathes, man drinks, man eats. That's the order in the natural law of will. All right? Anyway, so that's that. Now, let's continue. This is a very interesting book in my library. It's a lengthy book. For all of those of you out there that do research, this is by a G.F. Young. It's a modern library edition. The title is The Medici. The Medici. Very few people ever study the Medici. They've heard about Machiavelli and stuff like that, but they don't really know too much about the Medici. And they're important people. And over the history, you know, over the centuries, they've had a really, you know, a tar brush applied to them. But there's a lot more to them than that. What this book does that many others don't is that it ties together their ancient family lines with their more modern family lines and brings it all together so that we can see it. But I just want to give you a little bit out of the first chapter here about Florence, Italy, as opposed to Venice, Italy. Everybody knows about Venice, the Venetians, but nobody knows too much about Florence. But this is the difference. This is the birthplace of the Renaissance, all right? It was out of here that, you know, Michelangelo and Botticelli and so many others, you know, writers, painters, thinkers, the architects, etc. This is where they had their leg up in the world. And it was largely because of the blessings bestowed upon them by the Medicis as they were raised up from household servants. And their patrons, if you will, gave them a sense of freedom. And this is where the liberal arts, modern liberal arts, has their roots, okay? And so I'll just give you a little bit. The city, we're talking about Florence here, the city is what those who once lived in it have made it. And we can say that about any city, anytime, anywhere. The city is what those who once lived in it have made it. And as we look at, again, this is Florence, as we look at the memorials of themselves, which they have left behind, and which still belong to their descendants, we must not omit all of the race which these made these men what they were. For this is Etruria, a country which has always, from the earliest times, led the way in Italy, and from whence, in the Middle Ages, there came forth, as leaders of the movement which we call the Renaissance, a great succession of men, of whom it has been said, The dazzling light of their genius shines on through the centuries to show the future generations what man can be and do. What man can be and can do. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I don't want to dwell too much on this. We'll come back to the Medicis on it perhaps more in the future. But the full effect of this vivid realization of the past, which Florence forces upon us, is best seen by comparing her with her great rival Venice. And then there's a Miss Oliphant, speaking of Venice, says, quote, "After the bewitchment of the first vision, a chill falls upon the inquirer. Where is the poet? Where the prophet? Where the princes? Where the scholars? The men whom we could see should recognize wherever we meet them, with whom the whole world is acquainted. They are not here. In the sunshine of the piazza, in the glorious gloom of San Marco, in the great council chambers of the Ducal Palace, once so full of busy statesmen and great interest, there is scarcely a figure recognizable of all to be met with in the spirit. No one for traces of whom we look as we walk, or whose individual footsteps are traceable. Instead of the men who made her what she was and who ruled her with so high a hand, we find everywhere the great image of Venice herself. In her records, the city is everything, the individual nothing. Venice is the outcome, not great names of individual Venetians." Well, let's drop down a little bit more and close it this way. I want you to think of the United States of America in those words. All of our several states and all of our history. I should just continue. I'm going to give you the whole piece. Miss Oliphant's subsequent remarks show that the root of the reason why Venice produced no prominent men. Now, I want you to think of New York City, for instance. Washington, D.C. Miss Oliphant's subsequent remarks showed that the root of the reason why Venice produced no prominent men was the inordinate love of money. A race with whom money-making and money-spending is the one serious interest cannot penetrate those avenues by which the mind soars to its highest limits. See, we've allowed these merchants of Venice to come onto our shores and to take over not only our country and our capitals and our financial centers, but to also influence or infect the minds of everyone, every county, every state. A race with whom money-making and money-spending, as Michael Rivera says, the money junkies, is the one serious interest cannot penetrate those avenues by which the mind soars to its highest limits. Florence also loved money, but it was not her chief interest. And so we have this significant result. Florence with art and learning as her passion, and with her long lines of immortal names in every branch of these, the city which led the way in producing the civilization of Europe, and on the other hand, Venice, producing next to nothing of the kind. No great poet, no great scholar, no great sculptor, no great statesman, known to all the world, no great painter, even until her rival had been leading the way in that particular for 150 years and had produced a host of such, and leaving nothing behind her but her own exalted name, nothing still able to elevate mankind after her own glory had passed away. It is a great contrast. And just as it is the lack of the human interest in the case of Venice that causes that chill to fall upon the inquirer, so on the other hand, it is the abundant possession of the human interest that gives Florence her great attraction. The seed from which the fruit grew was, in the case, the love of money, in the other, the love of art. Where are we? Who are we? Whose are we? Before we go into more of St. Simon, I want to cover this because I've had to set it aside several times this week. It's a subject matter of the social sciences. Again, this is reason in social science, the social and natural sciences. Book back in 1910, I think, or something, wasn't it? Reason and Nature, Morris Cohen, 1931, page 334. The distinctness of the words social and natural. The distinctness, these are two separate words. What are words but symbols? Symbols that can be expanded and contracted. The distinctness of the words social and natural inevitably suggests that the subject matters denoted by them must be mutually exclusive. What is social is not natural. What is natural is not social. Is that what they're saying? Yet few seem willing to maintain such a sharp dichotomy even between natural and social facts as to call the latter un- or non-natural. Now with that, we'll return in a moment.
OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So once again, back into this reason and social science, the subject matter of the social sciences. These continue, it says, yet few, oh, we're going back to the distinction between, in these words, social, quote-unquote social, and natural. Now, you look in the Declaration of Independence, go through the Constitution for each of the several states. I can't speak for them all, I haven't read more than just a couple of constitutions for the states, but in Missouri and here in the federal compact, you won't find the words, you know, social. The Declaration speaks of nature, natural law, the laws of nature, nature's God, the creator of the universe, all men being created. And so there's something going on here, this introduction, and we can't study You can't study August Comte or Henry St. Simon or positivism without getting involved with social all over the place. In the beginning, the kernel of grain of socialism emerges. But again, the distinctness of the word social and natural inevitably suggests that the subject matters denoted by them must be mutually exclusive. Yet few seem willing to maintain such a sharp dichotomy between natural and social facts as to call the latter un- or non-natural. Social facts and the human beings, remember that word human beings, remember? It was defined in a political science textbook as a politically socialized creature, a politically socialized animal. Unless and until a animal is politically socialized, humans and other animals, unless they are politically socialized, they don't elevate to the level of human beings, according to the political scientists. Social facts and the human beings, hummingbees, mandibles, bees, between whom they take place are located in physical time and space, located in the physical time and space. All right. And again, Henry St. Simon, Auguste Comte, a denial of the absolute, everything being relative, that is the only absolute. A denial is kind of an atheistic thing. They have ultimately realized that they needed to have a religion, and so they created one of their own. A little G-God man writing as they did. Deprive these, okay, social facts and human beings between whom they take place are located in physical time and space. No spirit in this at all. Deprive these social facts of their physical elements or dimensions, and they lose their usual meanings and cease to have reference to anything existing. Again, deprive these social facts of their physical elements or dimensions, and they lose their usual meanings and cease to have reference to anything existing. And so we go out with GPS units, and we go around and we harass the people of the land, and we conduct our census and get three to dimensional coordinate geometry on every doorpost in the country. And all we're doing is collecting facts and statistics. All we're looking at in that study is a social study. Social studies. Human beings in physical time and space. There's nothing in there about the higher level. This is the difference between Florence and Venice. Florence was money, 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 money. Or excuse me, Venice. And Florence was art, the higher being of man. And it was out of that experience we got the Renaissance. Johann Reuchlin, Philip Melanchthon, Calvin, Zwingli, Luther, Desiderius Erasmus, and the others, the Protestants, protesting the anti-establishmentarians and the disestablishmentarianism, right? Talk about the disestablishmentarianism as being the Jesuits. Then you can find just north of Florence, the Church of Gesù. You might want to browse it up, put it into Wiki, Church of Gesù. And look at that one. That's the Jesuits' temple. Continuing, these reflections suggest that we must not conceive the social and the natural sciences as mutually exclusive. Rather, we should view them as dealing with parts of the same subject matter, from different standards, as dealing with parts of the same subject matter from different standpoints. The social life of human beings is within the realm of natural events, but certain distinctive characteristics of the social life make it the object of a group of special studies which may be called the natural sciences or human society. In any case, the empirical or historical fact before us is that many questions are clearly in both the physical and the social realm. Now, he's reaching for it, but he's not really saying it. And that's because this author, Mr. Cohen, is a positivist. I'm certain of that. Again, we may, if we like, draw a sharp line between physical and social anthropology, between physical and economic geography, and perhaps even between individual psychology, again, reaching for that zone but not touching it, as a natural science, and social psychology as a social science, which you would have had nothing but mirth from Auguste Comte. He looked at psychology as a bunch of quacks, nonsense. Physiologists he had great admiration for, and of course his sociologists he had total support for because he created it. But the distinction is, in any case, a thin and shifting one. When we come to the study of the linguistics or of epidemics or to the various branches of technology, we see the breakdown of all the sharp separations thus far suggested between the natural and the social sciences. Now, this section is going to continue, and it's going to talk about social facts being simply physical versus social facts being biological. Can we avoid all the foregoing difficulties by boldly declaring that all social phenomena are simply physical? Now, if you go back and you study phenomenology, you're going to track right back to Henry St. Simon. He's the guy that kind of got it started. The affirmative is maintained by those monistic materialists who now call themselves behaviorists. And now we've invoked John Dewey. In line with the modern positivistic traditions, they speak the language of empiricism and induction. And of course, from the study of Trivium, you know that you've got both inductive and deductive logic. Go back and study Aristotle. But clearly, no mere accumulation of facts can adequately prove the absence of some factor in social phenomena other than those taken into account in physics or biology. In point of fact, these monistic materialists, like A.P. Weiss, Weiss, base their stand entirely on the a priori argument that since social phenomena must manifest themselves in time and space, they must, like physical phenomena, be constituted by matter or electrons in motion. But the fact that social phenomena always involve physical elements fails to prove that they contain nothing else. Now, science is rapidly discovering that even though they can isolate atoms and genes and things like that, try as they might, they've never put that little spark of life in there. I doubt that they ever will. But again, we're talking about science here. The fact that X is a man does not disprove that he is a scientist. The behaviorists do not see that while physical elements are necessary, they are not sufficient to determine the meaning of social phenomena. And so we go into this process a little deeper and we find out more and more about this New Age religions and all of that, you know, Alice Bailey and the Dracul and all the rest of that. We're going to start to see that there's something else out there besides just physical space and time. But the social significance of this act is not thereby indicated. Social descriptions involve altogether different categories from purely physical ones. To describe men as showing difference or as seeking food, mates, etc., does not give us their physical coordinates. And again, coordinates, bounds, boundaries, your skin, etc., the terminus of your physical existence. Not to say that your aura exists, but simply just to simply say that, you know, bounds and meets and bounds and borders, all that. The behaviorist uses the categories of stimulus and response. But if the stimulus is purely physical and the response is equally so, how can we get anything as distinctive as the social categories? From the laws that are common to all physical phenomena, you cannot deduce those that are peculiar to a given group. Something more and distinctive is needed for the description of social phenomena. And of course, the master blasters of this universe are quite well aware of this. And they're doing everything that they can do to work on your spirit, destroying it along with your body. Body, soul, and mind, perhaps. And so we need to be prepared to work in this area as well. And moreover, the behaviorist himself must and does admit that there are often no determinate relations between the physical dimensions of stimuli and their social responses. Why do you react the way you react? Has it got to do with physical elements, molecules and stuff? Or is there something else that's driving you? What gets you to do what you do? The same physical stimulus, for example, the sight of pork, may be followed by the most diverse social responses on the part of Arabs or Russians. The sight of pork. Yeah, we'll be right back. Thank you.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Okay, so we can continue to just react and react and react and, you know, wring our handkerchiefs and get our shorts in a bunch over the daily news on a regular basis. But if we can step back just a little bit and understand, you know, the profundity of what went down here with these guys, Henry St. Simon, August Comte, coining this new science, the queen of science, going to trump even philosophy, sociology. This idea that I put out in its most simplistic terminology of putting man in a petri dish and sliding him underneath the microscope, making man the subject of science inquiry and study. And they have advanced this to the nth degree. You know, you think the computers are something else for running Wall Street. Well, they got computers running on us 24/7, 365, especially when we're online. Let's continue a little bit further. The idea that if we take social facts on a large scale, we shall find their determining physical conditions seems to find support in certain statistical correlations, again, between geographic, especially climatic conditions, and social behavior. Talked a little bit about Siberia earlier. Crime, increased or decreased efficiency in economic production, and increase or decrease of marriage rates seems to be correlated with definite conditions of temperature, atmospheric pressure, air currents, moisture, and so on. I say seem to because I am not sure how many of these correlations will hold after careful analysis of all the factors involved. Thus, greater crime during summer months may not mean any direct effect of temperature on antisocial disposition, but merely greater social opportunity for the commission and detection of certain social acts called criminal. And so those that are out there, you know, they're basically, you know, counting every grain of sand and every blade of grass and every follicle of hair on your head, plugging them all into the computers and running all these, you know, systems on them, algorithms or whatever. They're trying to be God, I guess. Little G God, man, I call them. But they're getting to know us quite well. Getting to know us quite well indeed. But does that not the assumption that summer conditions make for more open air life and greater opportunity for certain crimes itself? I mean, you know, who's going to commit a rape when it's 60 degrees below zero outside and you expose yourself to the weather and get immediate frostbite on the end of your fingertips, not to mention on other extremities? Not likely. Given social conditions otherwise the same, a longer day and a milder temperature will bring more people out of doors. But it's hard to say what social effects the mere fact of summer is adequate to produce by itself. We can see all this more clearly in the usual illustrations of the geographic interpretation of history. The proximity of the sea, it is claimed, explains why the Greeks and the Phoenicians were seamen. The presence of certain plants and animals, why certain tribes were agriculturalists and hunters, the presence of certain minerals, why certain nations developed certain industries, and so on. Now, we may well grant that people cannot fish or sail boats if large bodies of water are inaccessible to them, and they cannot develop metallurgy if they have no ore, but history amply shows that the mere proximity of the sea will not develop mariners or fishermen. England, before the Tudors, or certain parts of Ireland, and that the presence of clay will not make people use pottery. Nor will the presence of certain foods always be followed by their utilization. Thus, many people, suffering from shortage of food, do not utilize the milk of their domestic cattle, the eggs of their fowl, the fish in their rivers, the flesh of certain animals, etc. The reason for such failure is often attributed to your irrational taboos. Again, this is August Comte, straight up. But often, it is due to the more simple consideration that people have not learned to utilize resources which to us are obvious. Is it not true that if we take mankind as a whole throughout its history, the utilization of natural resources is very limited and generally the result of a very slow process of learning? The mere presence of the resources is certainly not an adequate cause of men's learning to use them. Now, just an aside, let me just throw in, this was written in the 30s, and what he's using is the utilization of resources. If you read the Agenda 21 and you look at all of the modern writings, it's always exploitation of the resources. You kind of find out why we're in Afghanistan, why we're in Pakistan, why we're going after some of these places in Africa. It's to exploit the natural resources that lie outside of the bounds of our peoples, outside of our states and our country's boundaries. Exploitation is different from the utilization of natural resources. In general, those who wish to reduce social phenomena to nothing but physical elements are under the illusion that particular social facts can be derived from physical universals alone. They fail to note the distinction between the necessary and the sufficient conditions of social acts, a distinction which is emphatically explicit in the exact sciences. And again, Henry St. Simon read the part where he was looking at the difference between analysis and synthesis. Analysis and synthesis. The existence of rare earth metals in the ground in some places in Pakistan does not necessarily lead to their use, to the Afghanis or the Pakistanis or anyone in Iran utilizing them to make, you know, lithium batteries for cell phones, or using those rare earth metals for wind turbine parts, generation of electricity, etc., or in electric cars or electric batteries. Continuing. Now, this is the next part. Social facts. Are social facts simply biologic? So on the one hand, are they social? Are they physical? or are they biologic? No one, I take it, Cohen continues, seriously questions that social phenomena are conditioned by the biological processes of the human organism. Yet social phenomena are not merely biologic. They cry, which is evolved by pain, I should say the cry, which is evolved by pain, the turning away of the head from the sight of something frightful, or the turning towards certain other objects, are all biological facts. But they acquire social significance only when definitely related to the rules or the ends of a community. Now listen, a lot of people today are almost wholly unaffected by the sight of blood, of the sight of someone beating or raping or killing another person, another individual, another man or woman or child. Their consciousness has been seared by Hollywood, by the news media, by events of the last 100 years and more. Who would turn away their eyes? These are horrible automobile accident. No, people slow down and they turn and they look. When someone is threatening you, you capitulate, you cave in, instead of expressing righteous indignation. Right? They've come inside of our psyche, if you will. I don't like to use that word, but they've come inside us that way. And they've altered who we are. All of the rules and the ends of our communities have been undone by this diversification, this diversity. The ceremonials of courtship, of marriage, and so forth involve opposite sex. But the specific character of these ceremonies as courtship or marriage is social and not merely biologic. These things we do. This goes back to the article that I posted from the Orion magazine. If we go back and we look at the origins of the common law, the rise of natural law, we can find these things that rise up out of the customs, the tongues, the tribes, the creeds and traditions that become the way we are, the way we became, the way we act, the way our whole life, our entire culture is built. And when someone artificially comes in and changes that, they change more than just your system of government or your system of economic exchange. They change who you are. And if it's done suddenly, like in one or two generations, it leaves people in a state of confusion. We no longer know who we are, and we don't know whose we are. No clue. And that's weaponry of the most diabolical kind. All this, again, is very elementary, yet an astounding number of widespread and influential errors result from overlooking it. Consider, for instance, the Spencer Fisk theory that prolonged infancy is the cause of the family and of the growth of civilization. Obviously, the helplessness of the infant will strengthen the family bond only when both parents already have a disposition to care for the infant. It will not affect parents whose relations are not already more or less permanent. The biological fact of the prolonged infancy cannot, therefore, by itself explain the permanent family. So many questions, so little time. I'll be back on Monday. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.